Lord, we so much need you, and especially as we look into these things in the scripture, and we seek you, Lord, for that grace which will enable us to profit, all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, from the least to the most experienced. Lord, we want to learn from you and to know more and see more of the Beloved One. So we pray, Lord, you'd open our eyes, open our heart, open our mind, enable us to receive. We ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. So we began last or 2 weeks ago to look at the Gospel of John. And the way the Gospel is written, the first 18 verses are a prologue. So what is a prologue? A prologue is what is written before you come to the main part. So have you ever had that experience where you hear somebody or see somebody talking about something or doing something and you come away and think, I didn't get it. I don't know what all that was about. Or else you hear somebody speaking something or you see something and you think, it's nothing. It's just unimportant. But then later, you realize, you understand something. And then you look back upon what you saw or you heard, and you realize, oh, now I get it. Now I understand. Now I see that it wasn't nothing at all. It was really something. Something important, something significant. So when we read this prologue to the Gospel of John, John wants us to know these things because these are the things that people didn't understand when they first heard him. The people who gathered around him and listened to him speaking and saw the things that he did, they often just went away and scratched their head and thought, I don't know, you know, or just took no notice. But later they came to understand who he was and why he was speaking the things he was speaking. And so John, after, as we said last time, after 60 years of speaking about the Lord Jesus, after 3 years with him, after being a witness of his death and his resurrection, being there at Pentecost, being there at the beginning, and then 60 years of thinking of Christ and preaching Christ, he takes up his pen and writes this gospel. And he begins with laying a foundation. It's almost like he's saying, if you can receive this, in these first 18 verses, then what follows will make a lot more sense to you. So, last time, we looked at the first 5 verses. Very, very famous words. So many people know this first line, "In the beginning was the Word." Just like they know the very first line of the Bible, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And what we said last week was that we were going to memorize that. Shall we read it together? I'm sure you memorized it. No cheating. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's not hard to remember that, is it? Only five verses. In the beginning was the Word. We remember the meaning and the significance of this. It wasn't that the Lord Jesus simply was a man who was born and that his beginning was in Bethlehem. No, no. In the beginning of all things, he was, he existed. He was with God, he was God. And in him was life. And last time we talked about the life being light. But the light shines in the darkness because there's only one light. In him was a unique life, an uncreated life. Well, now we must go on and continue with this prologue. So John says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this, of course, is John the Baptist. In the scripture, we've got a lot of people with the same name. This is John the Baptist. Here, there was a man, he says, sent from God. What does he mean? He means that hundreds of years before John was born, the prophets wrote that a man would come, a messenger, and he would prepare the way. So in Malachi, in the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 1, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Who is speaking? God is speaking. And I don't know if you were Jewish and you were way back then before Jesus came and you read these verses in Malachi, what would you think? He shall prepare the way before me. Who is this messenger? And what does he mean? Me? That the Lord himself is coming? What could that be? So John came as a witness, to bear witness to the light that all might believe through him. He had to turn people's hearts. He had to wake people up to prepare them for Jesus' coming. Because people's hearts were hard. People were interested in so many other things. John had to come and wake them up. And he preached and people heard him and were astonished by him. And it says all the people in Jerusalem and people from surrounding countries came out to hear this man who just came out of the desert, and he didn't wear normal clothes and he didn't eat normal food. What did he eat? He ate locusts, grasshoppers, and wild honey. He was a strange man, but he was preaching this scary message, and the message was, he is coming. The kingdom of God is about to be here. He is coming. And it says, John says, he was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. And then John speaks about this light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Think for a moment about this picture of light and darkness. Are you in darkness? Now, if we switched the lights off and it was nighttime and everything suddenly went black, we'd be in darkness and you couldn't see anything. And if the lights came on, then you can see. So what John is saying is that the world is in darkness. can't see what's out there, can't see what's real. But now a light was coming, and this light was going to shine. And when the light shone, then we could see the lights are on. He was going to give light to everyone. And this was a radical statement. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. For every person, I am light. Not just for the Jewish people, not just for certain people, but I am the light of the world. Have you seen this light? Do you know what is real? Do you know what the truth is? Have you seen? Or are you sitting in darkness and say, I can't see anything. I don't know what you're talking about. And then this statement. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. That's not possible, is it? If the creator of the world came into the world, we would know, wouldn't we? But they didn't. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. They just looked at him and shrugged. Who's this? And they even said he's got a demon. He's evil. A statement like this is so radical. It is so out there, you know, so extraordinary. Who is Buddha? He is a man. He was a prince. Who is Muhammad? He is a man. He was born like every other man. Who is Jesus? The world was made through him. How big a difference is that? There are many philosophers, there are many wise people, there are many people who can say many things. But here, we are not saying, here is a man who's got some good ideas. We're saying, here is the creator of heaven and earth. Come to us, to speak to us, to give us light. It says that he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. He came into the world that he had created, and he came to his own people, this nation that God himself had formed, this Jewish nation that God himself had created with a purpose. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. You know, later in the gospel, we're going to read where people argue with Jesus. People try and find fault with him. They tell him he's wrong. And when we read that, we think back and say, what did John tell us in the beginning? He was in the world. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But then there's that wonderful word, but. There's a guy said to me the other day that he was told that one of the greatest words in the Bible is but. Because in so many cases you say, this is our terrible situation, but God. And here, his own people did not receive him. They were not interested. They turned their back on him. But to those few who did receive him, which means they believed him, who believed in his name, he gave the right or the authority to become children of God. Who's your father? Is he a good man? Is he a great man? Is he a king? No, my father's an ordinary man. But he says he gave them the right to become children of God. Who's your father? My father is God. So to believe, we talked about that before, didn't we? To believe is not just to tick the box and say, oh yeah, I believe. To believe is to actually trust in him and rely upon him. It's a commitment. You cannot believe in Jesus and stay the same. You cannot. If you believe in Jesus, you're changed. You'll be changed more and more as you go on believing in him. But your whole direction changes. Your whole outlook changes. Everything changes. You can't believe and be unchanged. And why? Because if you're a child of God, something happens. It's not just a name change. It's something happens. You're born of God. These who believed were born. Huh? We're all born. No, these were born again. And this second birth was from God. So he says, they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What does that mean? He says they were born not of blood, which means not because they belong to a certain race or because they belong to a certain family. I'm saved because my parents are saved. No. You're part of that family, but that's not how you're born. The Jewish people said, we're okay because we're Jewish. Jesus said, no. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not something you can achieve by yourself. Nor of the will of man. It's not something that others can do for you. They can't simply appoint you to be a child of God. This is God's work. And we're going to read about that later. A new birth by the Spirit of God. That's how you become a child of God. Are you a child of God? Have you been born again? That's the question. So he's laying a foundation here. Jesus came and they didn't receive him, but some did and they were changed. Changed forever. They became children of God. I remember when I was in year 12 and I only just believed in the Lord, and somebody said to me, what happened to you? And I said, I've become a child of God. I don't think I really understood what I was saying at that time, but that was the truth. My whole life changed from that time on. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And the prophets wrote 700 years before Jesus came, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. His own people did not receive him. How would you like to be shut out of your house? How would you like it if your own family shut the door on you It'd be horrible. He was despised, he was rejected, and the people that he loved so dearly and wanted so much for rejected him. So the prophets knew in advance, hundreds of years before, yes, this was going to be the experience of the one who came. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And, you know, the prophets also wrote of him, "Turn to me and be saved." That's what's at stake. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. You know, this was written so many years before Jesus came, but it's as if these words were being spoken upon the cross. When the Lord Jesus is nailed onto that timber and dying and suffering, it's like as if he cries out, "Turn to me and be saved." And the words, "To the ends of the earth," the whole world is called, "Look, look, look, the Creator has come." And that man on the cross could have said, "I am God and there is no other." Our God on a cross? This is the extraordinary message. But John goes on. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Staggering. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the Eternal One. And now the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What does it mean? It means he was born as an infant, as a baby. And who could comprehend this? This is so extraordinary. How is it possible? It boggles the mind. The Eternal Son has taken on himself a human nature. He is still the Eternal Son. He is still the Son of God, but he has another life. A human life. And it says, he dwelt among us. And actually that word is, he pitched his tent among us. He tabernacled among us. Because in the world he was here for a short time. But forever he is a man. The Lord Jesus didn't cease to be a man after he rose from the dead. He is today a man, and the one that's coming again is a man, the Creator. He tabernacled among us a short time, and these Gospels record that short time that he was amongst us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then John writes, "And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." He's not saying that we saw. He did see the Lord Jesus glorified, in the sense that, you know, his face was shining like the sun, and all his clothes were radiant white. He saw that. But that's not what he's describing here. He's saying we saw his glory. And that glory was the glory of the Son of God. And that glory was full of grace and truth. Well, what does that mean? We saw his glory. He is the unique Son, the only Son, We talk about being a child of God or a son of God, but he is the Son, the unique Son, the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what's grace? Grace is undeserved favor that's been shown to the guilty. And how, John says, we saw his glory. How did they see it? How did they see his glory? They saw it as he taught, in the miracles that he performed, and of course, through his death and through his resurrection, they saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And truth, the prophets spoke and wrote of the coming one. And the Old Testament contains these pictures of what would be, what would come. But when Jesus came, he fulfilled all of this. The final reality is Jesus. So John says, we saw his glory, full of grace and truth. Wonderful, wonderful what they saw. And as we go on in the gospel, then hopefully we also will see his glory. So John bore witness about him. John the Baptist at the Jordan River bore witness about him and said, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, for he was before me. How did John see that? The Word became flesh, the Eternal One. John saw it. Even though John was older than Jesus by about 6 months, he said, he was before me. He was before him because he is the Eternal One. And somehow John saw that. And then John the Apostle writes, of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Somebody asks you, tell me the story of your life in three words. Here's the three words. Grace upon grace. Kindness upon kindness. Kindness and then more kindness. Grace and then more grace. In the Psalms it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Grace upon grace, unending love, unending goodness. This is what we're called to. And John, after 60 years, is reflecting on this and saying, grace upon grace. He said the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only Son at the Father's side, he has made him known. In the beginning was the Word, making him known. He has made him known. So he said the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, the law placed a demand upon us. You have to be righteous. You have to be holy. And the law also, using pictures, showed us that there was salvation. And it would come through faith, through depending upon a sacrifice that was accepted by God, a holy sacrifice. That was the law. The law came through Moses, a demand and pictures. But grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus. Righteousness as a gift, not something I have to earn. And truth, because all of the pictures are fulfilled in him. They were pictures of him. Every sacrifice of an animal was a picture of him dying for us, the innocent one dying for the guilty. They are fulfilled. He is the Saviour of the world. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. This is the grace and this is the truth that the Lord Jesus brings to the poor, to the needy, to the broken, to the imprisoned, to the people in darkness. He brings freedom, light, mercy, forgiveness, abounding grace. We have seen his glory. And of his fullness, it says, we have all received and grace for grace. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And the prophets wrote about these days and said, all shall know me. The Lord said, all shall know me from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sins I will remember no more. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, and he has made him known. So there are two verses here that really the best thing would be to memorize 18 verses. But there are two verses here that are worth remembering. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you know what grace and truth are? Do you get it? He has come, full of grace and truth. His own people did not receive him, but to as many as received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So we can read this and we can marvel at this, or we can look at this and say, it's nothing. I don't care. You can continue in darkness, or you can come to the light. You can continue as an ordinary person, or you can be born again and become a child of God. What a privilege. What a calling. So John, in these first sentences, has laid a foundation. He wants this prologue to be read, thought about, even understood. And now he's going to begin to tell his story. And we're going to follow this man and how he came into the world and how the world did not receive him. But we're going to see how he is full of grace and truth. So let us pray. Lord, we pray that these words could, they're so profound and so important and so significant, but we pray, Lord, that they would be to us, to all of us, words that are rich and full of meaning. Lord, help us to understand, and don't let us let this slip away. Lord, have mercy, we pray, in Jesus' holy and precious name.